everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically, myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Kelly O Show. On today's show, which is part of our ongoing business series, I have Janelle Summers, and I'm so thrilled to have her. I have known Janelle, and it's funny, when we were doing this interview, we realized she's been in her business with Beachbody for 11 years, and that's really when she and I first connected through her sister, Shalene Johnson, way back when, in the early days of social media. I kind of laugh at how much social media has changed over the past 10 years. It's crazy. You know, back then everybody was connecting on Twitter and now everyone's like, who's on Twitter? But anyway, you are going to love, this is a two-part episode, a little over an hour in total. So each episode will probably be about 35 minutes or so. But this is packed full of great information. And for those of you that maybe this is the first time you're tuning in to one of the episodes in the business series, let me just explain to you very briefly why I'm doing a business series on what used to be just a podcast that was strictly about fitness. I have always been very passionate ever since founding my first company, Fitfluential, about seeing women. You know, I would observe this within the Fitfluential community. I'd see so many of our bloggers kind of strike it big, whether they got a cookbook deal or they just really became so good at what they were doing on their blog. They were able to quit their job. Several of them that I've already interviewed on the show have been at their blog for so many years now that, you know, I know one of them, Taylor, she mentioned, you know, that's how their whole household makes their income from her blog. And I've also chosen to interview people like Janelle, who are part of a network marketing organization. But the bottom line is I've been very passionate about encouraging women to do what I did in whatever way that looks like for them, meaning, you know, take a leap, pursue something that you really love as far as a way to either make additional income or to potentially replace the income that you make at a job, you know, maybe a job that pays you good. It's not that bad. You don't hate it. But the bottom line is when you're doing what you love and that's how you make your money, it's not that it's easy street and you're not working. It's not that I'm suggesting, hey, become an entrepreneur and you can get up and every day you work for 2 hours and you really just sit outside and take Instagram selfies and you're making millions. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. But what I do suggest is that pursuing your passion and becoming stronger or having a stronger foundation financially with multiple streams of income is a way to dramatically decrease the stress in your life, thereby improving your health, which is going to ultimately affect your results in the gym. So that's why I'm doing this business series. It really all does tie back to health, and it does tie back specifically to fitness. You know, if you are killing it and being perfect on your diet and just crushing it at the gym, but you're not seeing results, it could be, if you take a bigger look at your life, that you have an overwhelming amount of stress. And that stress could come from some of the two top sources finances, and or job. So we are doing this business series on The Kelly O Show to interview real women who are making all ranges of income and doing all different types of work. Some of them have started their own Etsy shop. Some are in the network marketing business, like Janelle. Some have two or three streams of income, like myself. Some have founded their own companies. Some are more solopreneurs. Some are just having a tremendously successful time at a side hustle. But the bottom line is, this business series, ladies, gives you the opportunity to listen to real women, what they became interested in, how they got started, what was realistic for them, what were their biggest fears, what is it that they would tell their younger self if they were like you, thinking about making a leap, thinking about getting a side hustle, thinking about starting a blog, thinking about joining a network marketing business, what would they say to themselves now? And this also will pull back the curtain to give you an idea of the types of earning potential, the type of work environment to look at, and so on and so forth. So I know that this business series is going to be tremendously insightful for all of you. And after you're finished listening to this two-part episode with Janelle, go back to the rest of the episodes prior to this and listen to those. I know you'll love, I'm just thinking of some of the ladies we've interviewed, the Clean Eating Couple, Food Taylor I mentioned before. We've got several tremendously successful female entrepreneurs on this show who have given a wonderful amount of insight, and many of them who we interviewed more on fitness, health, and wellness topics, but who have a successful business, they'll be coming back to specifically talk about their business and give it business advice on the show. And of course, many of these folks are taking even deeper dives in my private Facebook program for women and online training program, The Opposite of Nice Isn't Nasty. You'll hear about that more later. For now, sit back and enjoy this two-part episode with Janelle Summers, who is a Beachbody coach and has been doing this business, as I said, for the better part of 11 years, was able to, after a couple of years, quit her corporate job. She and her whole family are involved to some degree, and she is living life on her terms and doing things she never thought she'd be doing 12 years ago. So I know you're going to enjoy this show and this episode and walk away. Honestly, get out your notebook. I know you're going to have a ton of notes to take away after listening to this episode. So sit back, grab yourself a cappuccino or an energy drink or a water, whatever works for you, and enjoy. Make sure you listen to both parts of this two-part episode with Janelle Summers. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Kelly O Show. I am so thrilled that today we have on the show Janelle Summers. As I mentioned in my raving introduction, I am a huge fan of hers. I have been watching her on her Instagram channel. I know that if you're not following her right now, after the show, you'll be just as obsessed with following her on Instagram. She puts out such great content. And I don't even know if I told you this, Janelle. I have bought more food products because of what you put out on Instagram. And we'll probably talk. I know this is a business focused show, but I'll probably be asking you a few food tips because you like those. Is it the Nuco coconut wraps?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you put stuff out, and I'm like, oh, I've got to try that. I bought so much stuff because of you.
Oh my gosh,
so
that's
obvious. I mean, yes, it's like, you need your own cooking show in addition to your own fitness show. But Janelle, I'm so thrilled to have you. Welcome to the show. Are you ready to go?
Thank you. I love that introduction. Yes, I'm so excited to be here.
I'm thrilled. And we also found out I'm sure all of you guys are dying to know this, but I all this time have thought that Janelle lived in Michigan because she and her sister, Shalene, who is how I met Janelle, are from Michigan, that state where that one school is. And so all this time, I've always thought that she was in Michigan. So I asked her before the show, I'm like, how's the weather up there? And I'm like, wait, are you in Ohio or Michigan? She's in Toledo, and that's where I was born. Small world. I know you guys were dying to hear that. So I just wanted to share that with you. Cool things happen in Toledo. And yes, obviously, Janelle, you being from Toledo, you make it even cooler. So whenever I have somebody on the show, even when we're doing a business focus series, particularly with you, you have such a great fitness business. You've got you put out such great fitness focused content, nutrition content. I always like to ask people, for those folks who maybe this is the first time they're getting to know you, I asked them this: when was it that you first started getting into fitness, like leading a fitness lifestyle, working out, paying attention to what you were eating? When was that for you and why?
Well, I hate to go way back, but I feel like it only makes sense to do so. So I grew up in dance and sports, and I was taking dance classes once or twice a week, and I was in basketball, softball, that kind of stuff. And I decided one day, because a ballet instructor said you should really take it more seriously, to go into ballet to become a professional ballerina.
Wow.
And yeah. And so I was told by basically everyone in the ballet world and every, all of my friends' moms that's not possible. You don't go, to train to become a professional ballerina when you're 14 years old. It's too late. Everyone else started when they were three.
Doesn't that freak you out? I'm sorry to interrupt. When kids start so young, I mean, when I was three, I was barely keeping diapers on, I'm sure.
Right, right. And the truth is, the ones who were training to become professional ballerinas did start that young, going every single day, and I hadn't. But even at that age, I was just a very determined person to prove everyone wrong. And so my mom said, "You really want to try and do this?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." But one of the first things that I was told is that I was too thick. And I knew that I wasn't overweight, and I felt healthy and strong and, confident in my own skin. Thankfully, I had parents who always were uplifting to us. But I knew in the ballet world I needed to lose weight, but I didn't know how. And I knew that this goal of becoming a professional ballerina, and I had 2 years to train because you can't be in the professional company until you're 16. And I knew that in that time I needed to not only, double down on training like no other person ever, but I needed to lose the weight, and I didn't know how. I had no idea, where to even begin. And so I just thought, okay, food is what makes people overweight. So I guess I'll just stop eating. And so I basically was eating, anywhere between 700 and 900 calories a day. And I was, dancing every day after school, from immediately after school until 9 or 10 o'clock at night. Of course, some breaks in between, but definitely hours and hours per night of dancing. And so, as you can imagine, I got very unhealthy and had all kinds of issues. I had lost muscle and was just shaking in school all day long and just became very unhealthy. And long story short, I did end up making it into the ballet company, and I did end up quitting a year later. But when I decided to quit, everyone around me was like, "Oh my gosh, you can't quit. You'll gain so much weight. You've been dancing all these hours. Everyone that quits, gains weight." And I just was, again, determined to prove everyone wrong. So I dove into fitness as a 17-year-old, still in high school. And I started going to my mom's fitness classes and running and just everything you could imagine. And I also came upon a book called Fit or Fat. And
I remember that one.
Do you? Yeah, it was really a turning point for me, because it made me realize that all this time I had been starving myself. And that was why I felt the way I did. And I realized I needed to start counting calories to make sure I was eating enough. And so I basically started reverse dieting when I was 17 years old and really paying attention to calories and macros a little bit, but not so much at that time. Mm-hmm. But not, because most people think of counting calories as a way of restricting calories, but I was doing it to make sure I was eating enough. I was really trying to increase my calories, because obviously my body had adapted to 700 to 900 calories, which is awful and so unhealthy. And I needed to reverse that and gain some muscle back and get my health back. And so that's really where I became passionate about fitness and nutrition.
This is a complete sidebar, but I have a lot of people on the show who were in gymnastics or ballet or some kind of dance. And I hear, or wrestling, some guys that have been into wrestling. Yeah. I'm completely just curious, because obviously there's a ton of folks who have been through that and they've come through it and they're fine. But when I hear it, I'm about as athletic as, a dog who's 700 pounds. I'm just not athletic. I mean, I just don't have that talent. The only talent I had in high school was being in the high school play, the drama queen, right? So I tried to be athletic, but it lasted up like 5 minutes. But I'm just curious, like with what wrestlers have to do to cut weight. And I heard about your experience, and I've heard some women who have been in gymnastics and how they developed, some of them developed even eating disorders. Do you think, I don't even know what my question is. Like, is there a better way for, do you think that, that those types of sport environments for both boys and girls, is there a way that is, that they can be athletes and have better nutrition as opposed to having these feelings of, oh my God, I'm so thick. And models the same. I mean, that's a very broad question, but do you look back and go, oh my gosh, what a horrible experience? Or is it, you know, it kind of, it is what it is, and people can get through it if they understand, like, hey, this is just what you do. It's a sport. I mean, figure competitors do the same thing currently, right?
It's a tough question because, you know, these things are so competitive. You know, these sports are so competitive. Dance is so competitive. And yes, you can be that athlete that excels and not go through what I did or what some other athletes go through. But I think usually you're at a point in your life where you don't know where to turn. You don't have all the resources yet. And luckily now that, you know, teenagers do have social media, they can find some things online and in social media that'll educate them. And I didn't have that. And so I know everyone, a lot of people are really down on teenagers having, you know, their phones and social media, but they are coming across some of these educational things. And it's such a great thing that we do have so many resources now where they can really figure out like what is the best way, you know, to lose the weight in a healthy way. But more of us, you know, your listeners, myself, we need to put that information out there and tell our stories so that these kids don't go down that path.
So true. I mean, I'm obviously somebody who's been sharing a lot of, I do it on this show. I use myself as an example, and I'm like no holds barred. I will tell people anything because the truth is when you've gone through something really tough and you've come out the other side, you want to help people. So I use myself all the time, and it has been amazing to me when I really started, and I know this is such an overused word in social media, but when I really started being ridiculously transparent, whether it was in a YouTube video or on my blog or on Instagram, and I would share, you know, hey, here's the hormonal issues I'm dealing with. I'm frustrated because I've gained all this weight around my middle and I can't lose it. Like more women would write to me and go, thank you so much, because I don't feel like I'm alone. And so we can say a lot of stuff about social media, but I do agree with you. I think that the access we have to information and some of the things that I've been going through a chronic migraine situation the past 6 months. I've had more people share articles, and, you know, sometimes it's too much, but I'd rather have too much than nothing. And the ability to share information and, like you said, share success stories, I think is tremendous, you know, and parents, I wouldn't want to be a parent and have to like draw the line for kids. So all of you parents, I'm sure that you can figure that out. But I think that there's a lot more good to be had than bad. And really, I think as you were answering that question, for kids in sports, I really think that the more parents are involved and the more that you can understand like, hey, this is a sport I'm playing. I do need to be at a certain weight in order to perform. But as long as you have that awareness, like I'm not going to need to be this skinny or this light or dieting like this for life. Then there's a way to healthily or reverse diet out of it. And take care of yourself. So it's all good. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I was just thinking about that.
I really think it's actually something we need to talk about more, and just that parents maybe don't even realize that their kids are doing this, but you need to be listening for little clues like, oh, I'm not hungry, when you know they haven't eaten, you know, just little things like that, because I did everything in my power to hide it from my parents that I was trying to consume as little food as possible. And so I can't blame them because I think I did a really good job, but I think we as parents and you know, I have a son and I have to watch for these clues too. And he's not overweight, but even kids who aren't overweight do certain things that, you know, they want to be you know, stronger, leaner, more ripped, whatever it may be. And you just have to be really careful about what they're doing and make sure that you educate them.
That's a good point, because I do remember in the early days of Fitfluential, the company I ran for a while and started, gosh, this was back in 2011. But in the early years, like, we had a lot of bloggers who really, it just became very obvious that they were getting insanely skinny. And this was, I think, coincidentally, I could be wrong, I think it was also the time when, like, Lindsay Lohan and all of those celebrities were getting really, really skinny. Mm-hmm. And that was almost what young women were aspire, you know, that's what they aspired to look like, very skinny. I mean, when I was growing up, you didn't have Kardashian and Jennifer Lopez and Beyonce bodies to look up to. You were trying to be as skinny as possible.
Yes.
And so I absolutely agree, because I've heard from several of these girls who have conquered eating disorders, and I'm hoping to get some of them on the show, but they definitely hit it. They hit it for a while. And then it was almost like they became so skinny, even on their blogs. They would not put a lot of pictures of themselves up online, but whether they showed up at an event or they finally put a picture of themselves, it was startling. And then, you know, somebody in their family did an intervention. But people do have a way of hiding things. So I love what you said about, you know, telling parents to just keep an eye out. I mean, that's what, you know, that's what parents are for. I'm 50 years old and my mom is still checking in on me from way up in Chicago and calling, and she sends text messages to my man and says, you know, can you tell Kelly she should go see this doctor for her headaches and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, God bless my mom. She's always going to be my mom.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's dive in to some of the juicy stuff, the business stuff. So I love your fitness story, and you, as you know, I've been a fan. You're one of the people on Instagram, and I'm being very serious. I'm not just saying this because I'm interviewing you. You're one of the people, like, you know, when you go to Instagram and your feed comes up and it shows you, you know, whatever the algorithm is at that moment, but yeah. You're one of those people that I will look up. Like, I know you by heart and I will look you up, because everything you put out, whether it's a workout or a cute outfit. And again, I buy a lot of the outfits that you put up. I buy the food that you put up. You just put out great stuff. And awesome. So for everybody who is, again, new to you, we're talking about business, and we're talking about business so that we can educate the ladies. We have such a highly entrepreneurial audience of women who are tuning in, but also a lot of women who aspire to be an entrepreneur. They want to start earning money. They want to either start a side hustle so they can break away from corporate America, or start a side hustle so they can start earning more money just to augment what they're doing in corporate America. Or a lot of them are like, hey, I want to start my own blog. I want to join a network marketing company. That's why we're doing this series. Mm-hmm. Why don't you start by telling people, you know, you've got a fitness business, you've been working with Beachbody for a while. Tell somebody who has no idea what you do, what your business is.
Well, I'm partnered up with Beachbody as a coach, basically a virtual, you know, an online coach. And so it's basically broken down into two things that I mainly do. And that is, number one, helping people get healthy and fit and live their best life. And number two, helping other women start their own business that does all of that.
How did you, I'm curious. So I met your sister on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I know that she was, I'm trying to think, the truth is, when I met Shalene, so this is what's funny about Shalene. Shalene tweeted me, this was probably back, I should go find this tweet. This is probably back in 2007, 2008.
Okay.
And she tweeted at me, and I think I had like 1300 followers. Mm-hmm. And she had like 800 or something. So believe it or not, there was a moment in time when I had more followers than she. And she was like, oh my God, girl, how'd you get so many followers? Like, this was when Twitter was like an embryo, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I really don't know. I just tweet a lot. And we connected and we talked. And I think I had never done any of her Beachbody programs, but mm-hmm. I've done P90X. I did some of these others. So I've always been a Beachbody customer. Mm-hmm. And I somehow, through her, I got to know about you. And I think I flirted with the idea of being a Beachbody coach back then. But did you get involved? I mean, I'm guessing you got involved with Beachbody because, was it you being in the Beachbody videos with Shalene? How did you first get started? Did you get started because of Chalene, or were you already interested? Like, what was it that made you pull the trigger and say, hey, I'm going to do this as a business?
Well, I actually started off in the corporate world. So I went and got my degree and started off in HR management. So I was in resources.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I was in human resources in the corporate world for over 13 years. But while I was working full time in the corporate world, I also taught fitness classes. So even through college, I taught fitness classes just to make an extra income. And mm-hmm. fitness was, and personal training. So fitness was always like a side thing that I did. I'd always wanted to be in fitness full time. And at some point in time, while I was still working in corporate, Chalene had branched off and just gone into fitness full time. And I always thought, okay, that's great for her. Like, I would love to be able to do that, but that's not possible for me. Like, I'm not Chalene. I'm not an extrovert. I'm not the type of person that likes to be on camera. And so I always just looked at her life thinking, that's so awesome, but I could never do that. Like, I don't even want to say it was a dream of mine, because it just was not even possible whatsoever. And I made a good living. But what happened was, I not only was working full time, but I ended up taking on more fitness classes. And then the local gym asked me to also be in charge of their fitness instructors. So to be their, you know, the group exercise director. So on top of working 40, 50 hours a week and being the part-time job as a group X director and teaching fitness classes, I was probably working like 60, 70 hours per week on top of being a mom and a wife.
Wow.
So I was insanely, insanely busy. And at one point in time, I did take a couple times throughout my career, I did take little breaks from corporate. But bottom line is I was stuck. I felt stuck. And I knew that I was very busy making decent income, you know, and had to. Matt and I both had to be working to, you know, support our family and everything that we wanted to do. I just didn't think there was any other way than to do what I was doing, all the things I was doing. I just thought you have to just, you know, run around like a chicken with your head cut off, and that's just life. Like, just live with it. This is what I have to do. But I always looked at these other women that just, you know, they were stay-at-home moms and they got to, you know, do fitness on the side just for extra income or fun money or whatever. And it just seemed like they had the life that I really wanted. Mm-hmm. And so Chalene had already started doing her fitness videos, and I had already been in Turbo Jam. So I flew out to California from Ohio to be in Turbo Jam. And, you know, so that was fine. And so obviously I believed in Beachbody and I believed in their workouts and everything, but I was also teaching fitness classes at the gym. So it wasn't like I was just working out at home. And so it was at some point along there that Chalene said to me, you know, over the phone, hey, I went to this Beachbody meeting and there's these people there I was talking to. They are fitness coaches and they're like making a business out of it. And one of them was able to quit her full-time job, and it just seems like something you'd love to do. And, you know, I don't know if you'd ever be able to quit your full-time job and make that kind of money. Like, maybe it would take 5 years or something. I don't know. But it just seems like such a no-brainer for you to do something like that. And so she was the one that brought it up. And my initial reaction was, no way. Like, you know, you have no idea. I'm so busy. Like, I'm getting like 3 or 4 hours of sleep a night. I have so much on my plate right now. I can't even think straight. I'm so disorganized. I'm an introvert. I'm not on social media. I'm not a salesperson. I'm shy. Like, every single excuse in the book went through my head. And she was just kind of like, well, you know, Brett and I are looking into this because we know some people would love to do this. And so anyways, long story short, I myself and my husband, we looked into it further, thought about it, researched it, and we were like, this is a no-brainer. So that's when I decided, okay, I need to clear my plate up a little bit here. Of course, I still kept my full-time job, but I need to dive into this because this is what I'm all about, helping other people.
I love the way you described it, because I know that you'll probably share a story in a little bit about people who have joined your team who probably said the same thing to you or similar to what you said to Chalene. And what I found interesting too about your story is you were working in corporate America. You were doing what you did on the side with fitness because you really enjoyed it. And part of you had always thought, well, I'd love to make my living that way. But I wrote, and this is my paraphrasing or interpreting, I'm like, you didn't even entertain the thought that you could pursue what you, this is why I'm doing this podcast series, because I think so many women, I was one of them, we're working in corporate America and we have a dream, or it doesn't have to be, you know, a dream doesn't have to be like, I want to own a television network. It doesn't have to be huge. It could just be like, I really love to cook. I'd love to have a cooking blog and make money from it. That's a dream. Okay. And with Janelle and with myself, like I got involved in fitness when Tybo first came out, and that was my, thing. Oh my God. I love Tybo. Yeah. And I was upset. And that was when I really got into fitness. It was Tybo and also the Firm workouts. Mm-hmm. And then it was just one thing after another. And I always thought in the back of my head, I would love to do fitness for a business. Now, I did not ever think I would end up founding a company called Fitfluential, which would be a profitable seven-figure business that I'd run for 6 or 7 years. I never thought that. I was the most reluctant entrepreneur. But I think here's a question. When you were in corporate America and you were doing this stuff on the side, when you had those fleeting moments where you were like, God, you know, like, I wish I could just do fitness for a living. What do you think, even if it wasn't a conscious thought, what went through your head? Was it an immediate, like, well, that doesn't exist. Is that what you thought? And that's why you never really looked into it until Shalene brought it up?
Yeah, I didn't think it existed. The only thing that I thought was maybe a possibility was personal training full time and teaching classes full time, and possibly owning a gym. So, you know, Matt and I are both numbers people, and we crunched the numbers on those things and we're like, okay, that won't work. That doesn't make enough of an income. That's just not going to work. We looked into opening up a local gym. I talked to other gym owners and what they were making, you know, profiting per year, what their investment was, what their time was spent in the gym, how happy they were doing that. And you know, with all the research, we were like, okay, that's not an option. I don't want to live at the gym. We can't afford to invest that much money into a gym. We can't afford to not have it profit for, you know, this many months or a year or whatever. So, you know, I just ruled those things out very quickly and just kind of thought, all right, I just need to stick with what I'm doing. And, you know, just keep repeating the same insanity day after day.
I think it's almost like when you're in that world, which I was, you're not going to go looking for what you don't know exists. And I firmly believe, so again, this is why I'm doing this series. I hope more people, I do think we live in a time right now. I mean, back when we were going to college, you didn't hear things like entrepreneur or hustle or people starting a blog. Like that just, it wasn't, that wasn't the thing. You know, when I was in college way back when, I mean, that was like when the internet was first coming out, people. I'm old, so. But your goal back then, and I graduated late because I decided to add a major and I thought I was going to go to law school. So I graduated late in 1995 or 1996. Okay. But I remember at that time, like, the going advice was get a job and stay in a job as long as you can, because it's job security, right? And it's benefits. And that's what the goal was, stay in a job as long as you can. And if I heard the word entrepreneur, I thought it was somebody who was unemployed and without a job. I really just, that was always my opinion of anybody who used the word entrepreneur. I'm like, they don't have a job. They don't do anything. they just sit around and talk about, you know, entrepreneur life and they just don't have a job. That's what I thought. And I think we are very fortunate that for people of all ages, we live in a time where more and more people it's publicly accessible to see more people having these kinds of jobs or lifestyles or situations where they've created multiple streams of income for themselves, and you can be exposed to that. Whereas, again, back to when you were, you know, working your HR job, I don't think you knew what to look for. You knew you wanted something and you looked into some traditional types of jobs in the fitness space and it didn't work out for you.
Right.
So Number one, I would encourage everybody who's out there, who's listening, if you're starting to feel this inkling, right, and you're listening to these women that I'm interviewing on the series, and we're interviewing a couple guys too, because it makes sense, really start doing your research. Start following people and watching them. Do your research online. We're always going to link up to some of the stuff that we talk about in the show. But, you know, pay attention to what Janelle said. When she was first thinking about looking into, hey, I wish I could do fitness for a business, they crunch the numbers. And that's what I encourage you to do too. Check things out, do your due diligence, and do your research. Mm-hmm. So Janelle, let's take this back, because this is a really cool path we're going down. So when Shalene brought this up to you and she said, hey, there's all of these people who are coaching and some of them have even replaced their full-time income. Did she mention that it was a network marketing company? Had you heard that phrase before? Because usually I love, and I'm going to go into some of your objections, because those are very common for anybody, whether they're going into a network marketing business or, hey, I want to start a blog, hey, I want to start an online coaching thing, whatever it is, those are very common. But when it comes to network marketing opportunities in particular, some people, they hear it and they go, oh, this is one of those things, and they immediately get a bad vibe. Did you have that? Had you heard of it before?
I for sure had that bad vibe. I wouldn't even say necessarily a bad vibe. I just had a vibe that it wasn't going to be my vibe. Yeah. I just thought, you know, I know some people who are in network marketing, and I had experiences where, you know, I had some friends that would host home parties. And what I saw were, these were people that were very outgoing. They loved to be social. They liked sales, from what I could tell, and they just weren't who I thought I was. I thought, again, I'm like, I'm not a really social person. I'm very much a homebody, and so is my husband. And I'm not a really outgoing person. I'm not the social butterfly. I'm not the person that everyone knows when I walk in the room. I'm not that person. And so I just thought, yeah, that's not going to be for me. So I immediately associated it with like home parties and selling. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that isn't something I've ever wanted to do. So this isn't going to be for me. But once we did our research and I watched some people that were coaches on YouTube and I read their blogs, and I realized that some of these very successful coaches were introverts just like me. And what they were doing was sharing what works for them, products that they like and don't like, some having to do with Beachbody, some completely having nothing to do with Beachbody, and just really being honest, authentic people, mm-hmm. helping other people. Like truly watching their videos and reading their blogs, I realized that they were just putting value out into the world. And I thought, well, okay, that is my jam. Mm-hmm. I can do that all day long.
I think, would you agree that there's a, whether people consciously think it or not, sometimes when it comes to anything entrepreneurial related, if somebody's coming at this and they're working in corporate America and somebody approaches them, or they see a friend who's, you know, selling Mary Kay or hosting a Pampered Chef party or anything, you know, like they're making their money from their blog, it's such a different world for them that they automatically are like, they have that, it's too good to be true. This has to be a scam. And I think what people learn when they do, and this is what I will recommend again, I just said this 10 minutes ago, but the best thing any of you that are listening can do, if you want to make a change in your life, due diligence. It's do the research. And that's on anything. That's on the company. I mean, I'm in the process. I shared earlier, I've been dealing with chronic migraines in my life. When I am choosing, I have to see a neurologist next week. Sucks, but I do. I've researched the doctor. I've researched the types of treatment there are. You want to be an informed consumer, and especially when you're going to be making changes in your life, because I'll tell you what, there are some outstanding opportunities out there for you ladies to make side hustle money, or potentially side hustle money that can make you leave corporate America. All I encourage you to do is don't automatically jump, and I'm curious if you would say this too, Janelle, don't automatically jump to, this is too good to be true, and then let it stop there. If you think something's too good to be true, at least investigate it. You know, you can always say no if you've looked at it. You know, look at the company, look at the background, see if in the case of network marketing, if they're a member of the Direct Sales Association. That's a regulatory committee or organization that you know, makes these companies be bound by financial and ethical standards. So do some research, find out about the compensation structure, look at other people who have been in the business for a long time, look at what's a realistic outcome and what you need to do in order to earn the money. And then if you still feel uncomfortable, you can always say no, but don't say no to yourself before you've investigated. Would you agree that that's an appropriate response, that maybe too many people don't do the investigation part?
Exactly, 1,000%. You really have to be open-minded and realize that that person that you're talking to or that maybe you're watching, they may be doing things in a way that you wouldn't necessarily do it. And that's okay. I think too often we see people who are doing a business or network marketing or blogging or whatever it may be that we're interested in. And we think, well, I couldn't do that. And it's because we're trying to fit ourselves into their mold. When in reality, when you're an entrepreneur, you get to do it your way. And that was something that I realized in my research was that, yes, there are certain coaches that do this business a certain way, or maybe I feel like they're a little too salesy, or I don't like the style or the approach that they have. Well, that's fine because I get to do it my way. And so if my way, you know, looks different, that's even better because that's what's going to, you know, attract people to me versus someone else. You have to do things, you know, in your own style and your own approach with your own messaging that makes sense to you and has purpose to you. And that's what's going to feel good. And that's what's going to help your success.
Mm, so true. God, there's so many, like I'm trying to make sure I cover and we're in a good thread. We're doing this in the right order. And I'm like, oh, I've got to make sure I've asked this and I asked this. Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in. This marks the end of part one of this two-part interview with Janelle Summers. Make sure you listen to part two.